David Adesanya, your uncrowned 145-pound champion, here with one of the greatest boxers to come out of not only New Zealand, but the Pacific Islands. Welcome, Joseph Parker. How are you, champ?
Very good. Do you know what? I'm very happy.
Happy?
I'm happy. Life is good. I know training camp is when people come into training and they put in the work and they say it's hard and it's grueling. Which it is at times, but I got my family up here, my wife and kids, and they're staying 7 minutes up the road in an apartment. So after training every day, I get to see them. And I think it's, like I said, it's beautiful. It's beautiful to train hard, come home, eat, rest, and then when you have time, you're able to see your family. So life is good. Life is really good.
Question. So I wasn't going to disrespect you during the intro to try and pronounce this, so I'll let you do it. What do they call it? Your Muay Thai name? Or Mataya?
Mataya name? Chief name? Yeah.
I'll let you so take it away. Name. How would you... Okay, so describe to me what the chief name Mataya means and pronounce it for the audience so that people know.
So we're doing things for Samoa and representing Samoa on the big stage and part of our heritage, we have chiefs and we have Mataya names. And if... they've honored me with two names. And the names are, first one is Lupe Soliai, and then the second one is La'auli Olimali Atua. So there's two names, and it's...
Lupe Soliai?
Yeah.
What is that
Lupe
one?
Lupe Soliai. So that one's from another village. And then the other one's from another village. So there's different names, different... there's chiefs that talk, there's chiefs that don't talk, there's chiefs that go and represent, there's chiefs that... There's different levels of chiefs, and they've given me some good names that I do take it around with me all around the world.
Is there a meaning to it? Does it translate into something?
The first one is just from the other village. The second one is like, he's a warrior. La'auli Olimali Atua is a warrior. And I think it suits because of what, obviously, what we do.
So let's talk your upbringing. You grew up here in Auckland, South Auckland, tough area to grow up in. Talk to me about what your upbringing and growing up was like for Joseph Parker.
I feel like, you know, growing up in South Auckland, we do get just like that sort of reputation where it's a hard place to be brought up, hard to stay there, and a tough area. But for me, in my upbringing, I had the best upbringing. I had just a loving family, loving parents. Whatever I wanted to do, they supported me and backed me 100%. And I think that's why when I chose to do boxing, my dad introduced me to boxing when I wanted to...
How old were you when your dad introduced you?
3 years old, 4 years old. Like those ones, like holding the hand, like, all right, son, 1, 2, 1, 2, 2, yeah. And then like as time went on, tried everything else, but always reverted back to boxing and it just took me in.
You must have been like a cool kid at school because, you know, during your high school years, you were winning competitions, you were winning tournaments, you were sort of getting up there. So were people at your school aware that, you know, you are this highly touted amateur boxer?
No one knew until like my last year of school.
Wow. Were you trying to keep it under wraps or people just didn't know?
No, people just didn't know and I didn't say anything. I wasn't walking around at school like...
What's up, guys? Hallway, shadow boxing. How would you describe your amateur career?
Amateur career was okay. I had some great victories overseas and getting some medals in big tournaments, but I didn't have the proper guidance as an amateur fighter. I think I could have done a lot better if I had, you know, now I got the right food, the right training, the right rest time. But as an amateur, I was just doing whatever we felt was right, you know, with the help of my coach, my dad, and everyone else that was involved.
So you turned pro in 2012. You had a great start to your career. You went 24-0. You defeated Andy Ruiz to win the WBO vacant heavyweight title. You had a close fight with Anthony Joshua for your third title defense, and you came up short in 2018. Talk me through your first title run from that win to that first loss. What are the emotions like for someone that, you know, has been in it damn near 25 years by the time they reach that point?
Do you know when the first title fight with Andy Ruiz, I know a lot of fighters go through this, but when you win the title or when you've achieved what you've been aiming to achieve your whole life and then the downfall comes. And so even though I was fighting as a champion and I was defending a belt, I wasn't doing the best training. I wasn't focused on in camp, I was doing whatever I wanted to do. Something in my head wasn't right after winning the championship of the world. It just went downhill. When I'm in camp, I wasn't really in camp. I was just going out and just enjoying myself and eating what I wanted to eat and turning up to training and not putting in the best effort. It was the junior firefight. It was straight after the junior firefight in New Zealand. Even though I got the victory, I said to myself, I feel like I need change. Before I made the move or before I confirmed everything, I thought, you know what, I'm going to said to my wife, I'm going to give Tyson a call and see what he thinks. And then I called him and he said, Joe, I think I have a trainer that'll match you perfectly. And his name is Andy Lee. And let me reach out to him and see if he's available. You know, 5 or 6 days later, I'm on an airplane flying to Ireland. That helped me, you know, come back the right way again.
So 2023 would have to have been your breakout year. 4 fights, 2 knockouts, 2 decisions. And you capped off your 2023 with that incredible performance against Deontay Wilder. Would you say that was the biggest fight in your career, even though it wasn't for a title, but because of, like, you know, the timing of everything happening after? Yeah. Would you say it was the biggest?
I would say you're on the money there, and it is the biggest. Because of, like you said, the timing. And also Deontay Wilder and what he presented and what he came with. With Wilder being Wilder, it was like the toughest test to date.
During those flurries and those moments, were you ever worried about a counter coming back?
I was more worried about what I was doing. And I was worried about executing my combination. And then whatever came back, as long as I threw everything and then stayed low and, you know, defense, I thought I was fine. I knew I did enough to win. But this is boxing. And sometimes, even though you feel like there's a conclusion of who won the fight, things in boxing happen. And so I never want to celebrate until my name has been called out. As soon as it was called out, you know, I didn't really know what I was feeling, to be honest. I was just like, I was happy. It's not until I got back to the change room and sat down and called my wife and kids and then just started getting emotional, you know? Just thinking about all the hard work that we put in. Not only me, the team, my wife, kids being separated, and just everyone else leaving their families to come. And, you know, it's not just a one-man team. There's a lot of people involved in making you the best version of yourself going into a fight.
Has Saudi Arabia come to save boxing? Because it really looks that way. What's your experience been like working with Turkey and the other guys in Saudi Arabia?
You know what? I feel like that comment is correct. If Saudi Arabia didn't come in and be involved in boxing, we wouldn't get these big fights. And it's taken a long, long time for all these big fights to happen. But they came in and they're like, no, we're going to make it happen. They made it happen. They got Tyson and Usyk. Then they got March 8th, Josh Ngannou is the main event. And I'll be fighting Zhang. So, like, the fights continue.
Now, talking about the opponent you'll be facing on March 8th in Saudi Arabia, Zhai Li Zhang. I know he's a dangerous southpaw, 6'6", 88 reach. What would you say would be some of his best attributes?
I reckon the best attributes of Zhai Li Zhang would be his, he's got power, he fights in spurts, he picks his moments, and he's very patient. He comes forward, but he can also move. Like, for a big guy, like when I watched him fight against Herkovich, or when I watched him against Jerry Forrest, or even Joe Joyce, you know, he can pick his moments, and he's a smart fighter.
Technical.
Technical, and he's got, but when he lets his hands go, he lets him go with bad intentions and power.
Yeah, look, seems to be an imposing figure. And even at 40...
270 pounds or something, 280 pounds, whatever he is. He's a big, big man.
And 40 years old, I know heavyweights have a longer shelf life than fighters in lower weight classes.
I did have a fight with Zhang as an amateur back in... I'm not sure if Zhang remembers this, but I was in Azerbaijan. And I've just come off... I don't know. I've just come out, you know, overweight. Unfit, and like, do you want to represent New Zealand? Yeah, sweet. Where are we going? Azerbaijan. And I remember fighting Bang, I think to myself, geez, this is a big man. I lost the fight on points, but I don't know if Zhang remembers that we had a fight as amateurs.
Okay, let me get your opinions on these matchups. First off, what did you think of the Francis versus Tyson fight?
Honestly, it was a tough fight for Tyson. I thought a lot of people thought he was just going to go in there and get him out of there because Francis has no boxing background. Obviously, he's a champion in the UFC. He showed what he can do, and he showed that he put in the work, and he gave the best account of himself. And I thought it was a very close fight.
How do you think he does against Joshua?
I actually think he does quite well. I know Joshua's a beast himself, trying to make his way back and be champion of the world again, but Francis is not one to be underestimated or to be taken lightly or easy. Like, he showed what he can do. And when he can put his mind to work and focus on the Fury fight, imagine what he can do for this fight, with coming with that confidence for the last fight.
And quickly, your prediction for Fury versus Usyk?
I back Tyson, but Usyk, being the champion that he is and the performance he put on against Joshua, he'll come up with a plan and he'll come in a lot of movement and listen, he's very skilled himself, but they're both very skilled fighters. And it just depends. It depends on the night. Like, you can do all the training you want and you can be in the best shape, but everything comes down to the night. Have you had a good sleep? Have you done everything right? Is everything on point? How are you feeling? Like, I think all these things do come to play.
Thank you so much for your time today, champ. Any shout outs you want to make? Plug anything you're working on? Sponsors?
Just shout out to my wife and kids, parents, family back home.
Shout out to the wife.
To my team and the sponsors for backing me. The Uncrowned 170, what is it?
145, baby. Uncrowned 145 pound champion.
Thank you, bro.
Let me have one more crack at this, eh? Let me have one more crack at this. Yeah. Saying your Muay Thai name. Lupeso Liali Laao Liali Malitoa.
Listen, I think you're trying to sing that. Lupeso Liali Laao Liali.
Lupeso Liali Laao Liali. Fuck. No, I will practice. I will practice. And next time we chat.
Lupeso Liali Laao Liali Malitoa. Joseph Parker.
Actually, let me record that.
Lupe Soriai Laauli Olemalia Toa Joseph Parker.
Hey.
Yeah.
All right. Now that I've got the voice memo, I'm a practice, and I have it down next time I see you. Thank you so much, Joseph. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much, brother.
Have a good night. God bless.
Have a good day. Rest up.
Thank you, Joseph.